And I am so grateful to be here this morning. Before I take us to the Word, and by the way, we're going to start actually in Genesis this morning. But before I go there, as we were singing those songs, the Lord just kind of reminded me about worship. Two things that God has shown me about worship in the past. Worship is really our response to who God is and what God has done. And as we were singing those songs this morning, it was evident that both of those were in that song, those songs. It was evident we were singing about just the character of God. And when you get to know God better in His Word, you can't help but praise Him for who He is and how wonderful He is and how holy He is and how, apart from Christ, how sinful we are. And He is worthy of our praise because of who He is. But also, think about what He has done for us, church. Not only in the fact that He saved us from ourselves and saved us from our wretchedness, but how much does God bless us every single day? And how good is He? And I think that's one of the reasons why I chose the Lamentations text for this morning. It fit really perfectly where I'm going. So, and then years ago, I was doing some reading on worship, and this guy who was considered an expert in the area of worship, he said, you know, when we gather every Sunday, we are simply coming together to rehearse the same story in different ways through God's Word and through song about who He is. And so I just pray that we think about that as we think about worship. And I'll tell you, I've been teaching and preaching for 30 plus years, but I don't know why I've been nervous these last couple Sundays. Maybe it's because I think about the serious nature of what I get to do on Sundays and how I need to handle this accurately. And I need to make sure that I feed God's people with good doctrine and not stuff that's floating out there. And so I'm very careful about coming to this text this morning. But as we begin, I titled the message, Walking and Waiting in Uncertainty. One of the things I've been asking the Lord is, Lord, if you're going to bring me to this church to be the interim, what is it that the people here at Bark River need? And I know you've been through some difficult stuff recently. We've been through some difficult stuff, so I can relate to what you're dealing with. But what do you want me to bring? And this last week, it was like I got home and it was Sunday and I was like, what do you want me to teach on? I don't want to start a book at this point because I don't know if I'll be here past this Sunday. God brought me to one of my favorite scriptures in all of the Word of God in Romans chapter 4. But as we begin, I want us to think about this thought. Have you ever been in a time of uncertainty and waiting for something that you expected to happen? Has anybody in here ever had to wait for stuff for maybe even a long period of time, right? I'll give you a quick illustration up front. You've heard me talk about doing inductive Bible study, and I've been involved with Precept Ministries in Chattanooga, Tennessee for 30 plus years. And at one point I thought I was going to get to actually work at Precept in Chattanooga. Everything was like lining up. The stars were lining up and it never happened. It kind of fell through. And so I said, okay, God, if that's not what I'm supposed to be doing, then I won't. I'll just be faithful and trust You. Little did I know that God had a better plan for me and actually allowed me to start my own online inductive Bible study ministry. So I'm in charge of it. I get to head it up. I get to be entrusted with it. So that was, I waited for 25 years. Now, why do I say that? Because if you go to the book of Genesis, I want us to look at Abraham this morning, and I want to set us up for what's coming in Romans 8. And so I'm going to give you some scriptures. I'm not going to necessarily go there this morning, but you can write them down and go back and look at them. I'm going to take us through the story of Abraham, starting in Genesis 12, 1 through 4. Genesis 12, 1 through 4, God establishes the covenant with Abraham. He takes him out of the Ur of the Chaldee, takes him out of what we would call Babylon or modern day Iraq. So There were no Jews before Abraham. He plucked them from the nation and he was going to make him the father of a particular nation through which God was going to do his work and eventually going to send the Messiah through Israel. Right. So he gives him this promise of land and descendants and all this. And then in chapter 15 of Genesis, 15, 1 through 21. And again, I'm not going to read it, but I'll just kind of give you a quick recap of what goes on here. He comes to the Lord and he says, okay, here's I'm going to give you an heir. And Abraham has been waiting for a while and he says, okay, well, I don't have any children, so it's got to be Eliezer of Damascus, his servant. And historically, I discovered later on that if you didn't have any children, the heir of your house would be your closest servant. So he's thinking, okay, Eliezer. And God says, no, it's going to come from your own body. And so this is where he cuts the covenant with Abraham. Right. The word covenant means to cut and to walk between pieces. All right. Of that, the sacrifice. And then skipping ahead to chapter 18, verses 1 through 14, he appears to Abraham and Sarah and says, oh, by the way, you're going to have a child. And can you imagine as they get older, they're getting older and older and older, the promise isn't happening. What could easily happen to Abraham and Sarah? They could say, well, God, you don't really mean what you say, because if you really meant what you said, you'd do it immediately. How many of us want the promises of God to be immediate? When God gives us a promise, we want it right away, right? Well, that's not, I don't know if you've been walking with Jesus for a while, but I'm going to tell you, as somebody who's walked with him almost 40 years, it doesn't work that way. God's promises usually take a while because he has a plan, he has a purpose, he has a timing. And so, you know, there, he comes in, he says, you're going to have a baby. And then eventually in 21, 1 through 5 is when Isaac is born. But back in chapter 18, he says, you're going to have a baby next year at this time. Do you believe God is faithful to his promises? When God says something, do you believe it will come to pass sooner or later at some point, right? Because if we don't believe that, then what faith do we have, right? And so that's what's going on. He waited for 25 years for the Lord to come through on his promise. Not all about you, but that's a long, long time to wait. And so when you get over to the book of Romans. So I'm going to take you to Romans chapter 4 today. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 21. Paul is recounting the story of Abraham from Genesis in that 25-year wait. And the context of Romans 4 is he's speaking to the Jews and he's saying, listen, it's not by works that you're saved. I've heard that taught multiple times this morning. It's not by works you're saved. It is by grace alone. And so he's trying to establish for the Jews that it was even Abraham was saved by faith, not by works. Right. And so that's the context of what he's talking about. And so we pick up in Romans 4, 18 through 21. He says, in hope against hope, he believed so that he might become a father of many nations according to that which had been spoken. So shall your descendants be. That's the covenant promise in Genesis. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, I love those phrases, yet, that contrast with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but, another contrast, grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. This is, I believe, and I am absolutely inspired by Abraham as a man of faith. And he is one that I look to often to go, Abraham, I really want to have the faith that you have. Do you have those heroes of the faith in the Old Testament that you look to and go, man, I just wish I was like them. I wish I had their kind of faith. And we can have their kind of faith. So what do we see about Abraham's example to us? And by the way, Romans 15:4, and I was going to quote it, but I'm going to read it instead just to make sure I don't misquote it, because I don't want to do that. But later on in the book of Romans, Paul says, for whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. Well, we know it has to be talking about the Old Testament because they didn't have the canon of the New Testament yet. Paul's letter had not been canonized as scripture. So he says, whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. There is a particular, very popular, what many call today a rock star preacher. Thousands of people following him. He's on YouTube. He's on, got his own podcast. I'm not even going to say his name. Who a number of years ago made a statement that just pierced me to the heart and went, what are you talking about? He, to quote him, he said that to his congregation and to those who are listening to him, we need to unhitch ourselves from the Old Testament, because Old Testament is not relevant to New Testament Christianity. I hope that disturbs you, but it disturbs me. How in the world can I understand what Paul is saying about Abraham in Romans 15 if I don't understand the story of his faith in Genesis and beyond? Wow. So I am one of those guys who believes the whole Bible is true and that the Old and the New Covenant are directly connected. And so therefore, what do we see about Abraham's example to us based on Romans 15:14 about walking and waiting in uncertainty? And the reason why I felt like God laid this on my heart to share with you this morning is that you're probably here individually in a circumstance in your life where you can't see the future. You can't understand where this might be going. You might be in a difficult time or an uncertain time where you can't see the forest or the trees. You can't see where God could possibly take this. And as a church, you're probably sitting here going, we're uncertain about our future in terms of who is it that God's going to bring to us as that next pastor to lead us into the future. And I just felt like God saying, Jim, I want you to bring a word of encouragement to this body and to any individual believer this morning who might be in an uncertain time. So what do we see? What do we see? Well, there's three things that God put in my heart from the text. And I told you last week, I'm an alliterator, so you're going to get your three C's, or actually technically four C's today. Okay? So we walk and wait in three things: confidence, consideration and clarity, and certainty. And all of these are based on God's promises and faithfulness and goodness to us. It's not about us. You understand that, right, church? It's not about us. Yes, we're part of the story in this salvation story, but it's all about what God is doing. And I hate to say this, I'm a little critical of the American church at times as a pastor. I think there's way too many churches where it's about us. And it's not. It's about God. It's about how we fit into his story and how we need to be faithful in the midst of what God is doing. So there's three things I want to show you. First of all, in verse 18. It says, in hope against hope, he believed. Okay, what does that mean? What is that phrase? I went and I looked it up in the original language. And it literally means against hope, meaning there's no ground of hope. And the word hope in scripture means an expectation, a confident expectation that something will come to pass. That's the way the word is used. It's not used in the sense of, and I joke about this because I don't gamble. I've never gambled and I don't believe in gambling, but it's a great illustration. It's like somebody saying, well, I'm going to put a dollar down on the whatever $24 billion that's out there in the lottery and hope I win. Really? You know what your chances are of winning? Right? It's not good. This is not the hope that the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about a certainty of something, right? And expectation that it will come to pass because it's what God says. And so here it's without any ground of possible hope. There's no reason to believe that this would come to pass based on his physical circumstances, especially having to wait till he's 70 or 100 years of age, waiting since he's 75. There's nothing physical that looks like he could believe this would come to pass. He still believed. He still trusted. He still put his faith and trust in the fact that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. So in hope against hope, he believed. Why? So that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And oh, by the way, I didn't put it down here as a scripture reference, but when he promised him a descendant, it wasn't about Isaac either. If you read Galatians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 16, he says, and he promised Abraham not seeds as in many, but seed as in one. And that seed would ultimately be Messiah, Jesus Christ himself. So the promise of the nation, him being blessed through, you know, him blessing the nations through his offspring, wasn't even about Isaac, but it was about the coming of Messiah who would be in the line of Abraham. So he believed so that he could become the father of many nations. Now, I want you to think about this. He had confidence. He had confidence in God, right? Our confidence needs to be in God alone, not in anything else. And by the way, the reason why I believe he could believe is because if God doesn't come through with this promise, that makes God a what? A liar. And what does the scripture say about God? Let every man be found wrong, but God be found true. God is not a liar. God can never renege on his promises to us and his word. I don't know if you need to hear that today. I know I've needed to hear it in the last 8 weeks. God, I believe that you will take care of us. I believe in scripture that God says, David says, I am old and I was once young. In all my days, I have not seen the Lord's righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. I can bank on the fact that God, as his child, me trusting in him, that God will come through with those promises. I may have to wait, but I can know that that is going to come to pass. I want to share you just a few quick scriptures. Luke 1:37, when the angel Gabriel is having a conversation with Mary, very similar situation, and says, how can this all be? I'm a virgin. And I love what Gabriel says to her. With God, all things are possible. In Jeremiah 32:17. Jeremiah is being told by the Lord, I want you to go buy this deed from your uncle. I believe it's his uncle, because they're getting ready to go into exile. And the promise was, according to Jeremiah, that he would come back in 70 years. And right in the middle of that, it declares, is anything too difficult for you? No, God can do the impossible, what we think he can't do. 2 Corinthians 5:7, you don't have it, but you can write it down. We walk by faith, not by sight, while we are in this body. We don't have to look at and go, well, it doesn't look like it's going to happen. We don't have to worry about that. We've got to bank ourselves and have confidence in God's promises, because we can walk by faith and not by sight, and God will bring it to pass. Hebrews 12:2, this morning, I added this one. Hebrews 12:2 talks about, as we're running this race, we look to those who've gone before us from the Old Testament, but also we set our eyes on Jesus. We look to the author and perfecter of our faith. He is the one who's guiding the process, and we can trust in him, right? So there's confidence in hope against hope. He totally trusted God. Let me ask you a question. What are you going through right now? Are you totally trusting God? Do you totally have confidence that God will see you through and will bring about His promises in your life right now? Do you believe as a church that God is faithful, that God knows who the next pastor of this church is, and God already has them ready for you, but they may not be ready yet because maybe they've got some things they have to work through, right? Maybe they're in a situation where they're in a church where they've been for 20 years and they're kind of comfortable. And God says, yeah, but I'm going to stir you up and I'm going to move you and bring you somewhere else. Right? We can have that confidence. In verses 19 through 20, we see the consideration and clarity. He says, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Without becoming weak, it means literally to lose moral strength or courage. Right? Without becoming weak, not physically, but weak in faith. Right? Without losing that total confidence and trust in what God was going to do as He has promised. He says, without becoming weak in his faith. I love this. He contemplated his own body as good as dead. Right? That's where the consideration came in. The consideration is he didn't look at his circumstance and go, oh, whatever. He looked seriously at his circumstance and went, we got a problem here, Houston. I'm 100 years old and my wife is beyond childbearing. Okay. Is anybody in here 75 or older? Right? Some of you can relate to that, right? And you look and you go, hey, hon, let's go have a baby. No, it's not happening. The reality is, physically, older people don't get pregnant, right? And he's 100 years old, she's 90 years old, and they're not looking at each other and going out to the Target and buying baby clothes or getting the nursery ready. But they also know that God has promised them something. And so at that, and I think what's beautiful about Abraham, he's realistic. He doesn't look at his circumstances and sugarcoat his circumstances. He contemplates it. He considers it. He goes, okay, all right. I can't have children. I can't bear children. Her womb is dead, right? Yet, as he did that, he didn't become weak in his faith. I love that about Abraham. Yeah, look at the contrast with respect to the promise of God. So the contrast here is the situation that he's in looks like virtually there is absolutely physically no way that they are going to have babies at 190. You get that, right? But he looks to the promises of God. He gets his eyes off his circumstances. He looks to the promise of God and he does not waver in unbelief. The word waver here means to hesitate, to pause, to hold back in uncertainty or unwillingness. Wow. Now, I don't know about you. This is why I'm inspired by Abraham. That's not always me. I look at my circumstance and go, oh, my goodness, Lord, how is this going to work out? There is no way this is going to work out. Does anybody ever do that? Or am I the only one? Yeah, right, you can relate, right? Good night. I need this. I need this inspiration to look at. And you say, well, Abraham was special. Abraham was a man and a human being just like us. He wasn't some superhero of the faith. He was simply a man that God called out, that had incredible faith that could inspire us even today. And yet, respect to the promise of God, he did not waver. He did not hesitate. He didn't pause in unbelief. He completely trusted God no matter what. And it says not only did he not waver in unbelief, but rather he grew strong in faith. So he didn't go weak in faith. His faith got stronger as he faced the possibility of how in the world is this going to play out. What about you and I? Do we grow weak in faith as we're waiting in uncertainty? Or is God using it as a time in our life to grow our faith stronger? And I'm going to tell you what. I don't always do well in areas like this. And I would have never guessed that my faith in the Lord in the last 8 weeks would have grown. But it has, church. I'm here to tell you that it's possible in uncertain times to not grow weak in faith and not to doubt God, but it's actually possible from experience to grow stronger in my faith and your faith. I want to encourage you today, if you're struggling, to know that God can increase your faith and trust in Him. I have had more peace in the last 8 weeks than I think I've ever had in my entire life. The uncertainty of, am I going to have a job, Lord? You know, this is not a guaranteed deal here. I would love to think, okay, God, you're going to use this to provide for me and my family through Bark River. That's not guaranteed. That's still uncertain. I don't know that for sure. But somehow I know I'm going to be able to leave here today and go home and sit down and go, God, you've got me. God, you've got my back. God, you're giving me peace. You can take care of whatever circumstance. And I want to hear to encourage you today, church, that God will do the same thing for you. You know why? Because He loves you. And because you're His child in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, I'm not a prosperity gospel guy. I fight against that prosperity gospel. But I think what happens on the other side of fighting the prosperity gospel, the name it, claim it stuff, is we don't believe that God wants to bless His children. I'm absolutely convinced. It's not about the biggest car and the biggest TV and all that kind of stuff. But I believe that God wants to take care of His children. Do you believe that, church? God wants to take care of His children, and He will, because He promises to take care of His children. And not only did He grow stronger in faith, but He gave glory to God. He gave glory to God. He was willing to acknowledge and recognize and esteem who God is in His character. In the middle of our uncertainty, what do we tend to do? Whine and complain. Oh, poor me, God. Why? I've been faithful to you. How in the world could you let this happen to me? Because we make it about ourselves in the flesh. And oh, by the way, the devil likes to come along and help that process. I don't know if you know that. He's very good at that, right? But instead of that, we have to remember it isn't about us. Yes, we're part of the story, but it's about God's unfolding story in our lives as well. And we need to remember to recognize Him before other people, to give Him the glory that God is the one that's in control. God is the one that will come through on His promises. We need to make sure that we grow strong in our faith. We don't waver, and we give God the glory. Church, it's hard sometimes to give God the glory when things don't go the way we want them to. You guys probably a year ago would have never seen yourself in a situation where you would need to find a pastor. I would have never guessed what, based on what was happening at the end of last year, that I would ever find myself resigned and out of the pastorate. But God still gets the glory for what's going on in your lives, what's going on in my life. Church, make sure that people are aware of who your God is. What a beautiful testimony to the world. When they see you giving glory to God despite what's going on in your life, despite what's happening, what appears to be happening in the church. Because, you know, Satan just wants to destroy stuff. Do you believe that in the church? By the way, if you don't think Satan's in church, he is. He likes to come in and sit and cause problems, right? But you know what? In the middle of that, we can give glory to God because God's purposes are going to play out. And God will work this out for your good and ultimately for His glory. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, it's in the middle of talking about suffering. So that's the immediate context. But he says, we look not to the things that are seen, but rather the things that are unseen. remember, it may not look like a good situation. It may not look like it's going to play out well. But remember, look to the things that are unseen, because that's reality. Romans 8:28, God works things together for the good of those who love him or are called according to his purpose. Remember that. Claim that promise. God's going to work it. Whatever you're dealing with right now, God's going to work it out. And finally, certainty in 4:21. He goes on and says, and being fully assured that what God has promised, he also is able to perform. I love this word. To be fully assured means to be fully convinced, completely confident and certain of something. Is that how you feel about God's work in your life? Are you fully convinced? Are you completely confident and certain that God is working in your life and will work it out? Not only it's not enough to say, I believe God can do it. He might do it. I remember saying that a few years ago when we were at the church I was at. I was like, God, I don't believe you're going to make this church grow. Okay. I didn't have a whole lot of faith at this point. I know you can do it, but I just don't think you're going to. And then God did it. God did it. He shamed me in a good way, but we have to be convinced that God can do what he said. He is able to do. And the word was able is in the present tense, which means God is always continually able to perform what he said he was going to do. In Hebrews 11, I just want to share real briefly a couple of quick scriptures in Hebrews 11. The idea of being able to be fully assured. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Verse 2, for it is by it, by this faith, men of old gained approval, including Abraham. In Hebrews 6, I love this verse. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Do you believe God rewards you when you seek him? Do you believe that it's impossible to please him without faith? Right? And then in 17 through 19, he goes on to tell the story of Abraham. You know, I wanted to add this real quickly in Genesis 22, 1 through 18. This is not the only time that he had to trust God. Right? He gets the baby grows, and in Genesis 22, he says, oh, by the way, I want to test your faith, Abraham. I'm going to have you put him on the altar, and I'm going to have you sacrifice him. And here's the beauty of it. Most of us think that Isaac is a little like 3-year-old, right? I just spent the week with my 3-year-old grandson, Elijah, holding him by the hand, and most scholars believe that he was anywhere from being a teenager to a young adult. And he asked him to sacrifice his son on the altar. So I don't believe it's just Abraham that had faith. Isaac was an amazing man of faith, trusting his God and his father that he was going to do the right thing. So the question is, as we close this message out today, How do we need to walk and wait in times of uncertainty, both personally in your own life and corporately as a church? Well, I believe based on this text, we need to walk with confidence. Confidence, not in ourselves, but confidence in who God is and what God has promised us in our relationship to him. We need to walk in consideration. We don't just need to go, okay, whatever. You know, that doesn't matter. We need to seriously consider what we're going through. And then as a result of that, we need to have clarity to say, you know what? It's okay. The circumstance doesn't look like it's going to come to pass, but it's not about the circumstance. It's about what God's going to do and how he's going to bring to pass what needs to happen. And then finally, certainty. And I want to do something. I know the hour's late, but if it's okay with you guys, Could I have the leaders come forward from the church? It's okay. I meant to say something earlier and I forgot to. Is it okay? I'd like to pray for you guys. Would that be okay for me to pray over your leaders? I think we need to pray. Have you guys been praying for them? I hope so. the wisdom that these men need as they seek God for the new shepherd that God would have you. I just want to pray for these guys. And I want you, if you would, just kind of hold your hands out and join with me in praying over these guys. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this body of Christ. I thank you for the privilege of bringing the word these last 2 weeks. And Father, as they seek their new shepherd, Lord, I pray you give them wisdom. I pray you take away all the confusion that might be thrown in by the enemy. And just let them walk in unity. May the body join them in prayer and walking together with them in unity, Lord. And Father, we just know that you're going to bring to pass what you have promised them, that you'll bring them a shepherd. Father, you'll bring them the right one in your timing. So, Father, help them to walk with certainty. Help them to walk with confidence. And may there be unity in this body, that they would walk together like Abraham walked, believing God, that you are going to do what you promised this body. So, Father, would you bless the leadership? Would you bless this body? May they walk together in unity. And, Father, I am praying against the enemy and any schemes that he would try to bring in, Lord, that you would defend the leadership and defend the body against the lies, against anything that any scheme he would throw at them, Father. And Lord, that you would just help them to walk in clarity and confidence and certainty, Lord. And not only for the good of this body, but ultimately for your glory, so that your light would shine in this community, so that people would see the glory of God in a people who are not wavering, but Lord, growing stronger together, and that you'll use that to draw people to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we ask this all for the good of this body and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. God bless. Have a great week.